Yeah, Father, we thank you for Aidan. We thank you that you've chosen him to bring us your word this evening. So I just pray that you come now, Holy Spirit, and just speak through him to us. Give us the ears to listen, and give us attention and focus to hear what he's saying to us this evening, Lord. Bless him now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good evening, everyone. It is such a joy to be here and sharing with you tonight on this Baptism Sunday as we celebrate what God has done in the lives of Emma, and Josie. For some of you, I'm guessing that the sight of them fully immersed in this paddling pool-esque thing in the middle here was a little alien to you. Certainly, this wasn't my experience growing up. I was baptized as a three-month-old in a cute white dress and hat with a little sprinkling of water in my head. I think we've got a picture of that here. There we go. This is little macho man in white there. Maybe more Michelin man with those cheeks. Little chunk. But if this is the experience of some of us, what is this full immersion all about? We can get rid of the picture now. So what is this full immersion about? Well, Dan's already shared a bit, but it's basically this outward symbol of the inward work that God has been doing in their hearts. So as Dan was saying, as they go down into the water, that symbolizes them joining with Jesus in his death, his burial. They put to death their old way of living. And then as they come up out of the water, that's symbolizing their sharing with him in his resurrection. They're rising to new life with him. And so for a short time now, I just want to share a little more about what happens when we choose this new life with Jesus. And so to do this tonight, we're going to be looking at St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, going from the start of chapter 5. So if you've got a Bible around you, please do turn to Romans 5, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 8. So Romans 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There are three parts to this passage about life with Jesus that I want to unpack tonight, and the first is this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. Since we've been justified by faith. What does this mean, justified? Now, in a sense, the translation we have here in modern English isn't very helpful, the translation, the original Greek. So in modern English, to justify really means to make an excuse for something, right? So if you justify your actions, you're making an excuse for the way you've behaved. This isn't what this word means at all here. So this has a very different meaning. Justify in this sense literally means made righteous. And essentially what this is getting at is an idea of being in right relation to God. So through faith, we have been brought into right relation with God, right standing with him. We were once far off, but now we have been brought near, brought into relationship with God. And how does this happen? How is this right relation restored? Through faith. It's not by how often we go to church. It's not by how much we pray. It's not by how nice we are, if our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds. It's not about how many friends you invite to Christian events. It's not by being able to give a perfect definition of the Trinity and how the different persons relate. Since we have been justified through faith, by faith in Jesus, by trusting in him, by loving him, and a desire to follow him, that is all it takes. It is that simple. There's an old hymn which says, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. The vilest offender receiving forgiveness from Jesus and restored relationship with him just by believing. It is so simple that it's scandalous. Over the years, as I've been here at St. Aldate's, I've been privileged to see so many different people baptized, as we've seen tonight, and from all sorts of backgrounds. I've seen doctors and super brainy postgrad students convinced of Jesus' love for them. I've seen prisoners and ex-offenders witnessing to the transformation that God has had in their lives. I've seen the mentally impaired sharing beautiful, simple love for Jesus and desire to follow him. I've seen business people speaking of peace that God has given them in the midst of chaos. What do they all have in common? All of them were brought into right relation to God through faith. And all witnessed the transformational power of Jesus in their lives. Jesus doesn't ask for a full understanding of how everything works. And he certainly doesn't ask us to have everything sorted when we come to him. All he requires is a simple faith and trust in him. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like you know all this, you've heard it lots of times before, yet still you are trying to earn God's approval. You're trying to please him. And if that's you, then the message you need to hear tonight is this. You have been made right with God by faith. Maybe here tonight and you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus. And maybe a part of you has wanted to, but felt like there's stuff you need to sort before you can. You need to sort of sort your life out or be more righteous before you can come to him. And if that's you, then the message you need to hear tonight is this. You can be made right with God through faith. You can come to him and be in relationship with him simply by putting your faith in him. We have been justified by faith. Moving on in our passage, we read, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, more of my free time than I'd like to admit is spent looking at classical art memes on Instagram. Any fans here? No. Oh, you guys need to check it out. As much as I love the incredibly dry sense of humor of this page, I've always found it striking how it feels like every other post is conveying a deep sense of kind of existential dread or dissatisfaction. I think we've got an example here. So in case you can't see this, we have the well-dressed man on the left saying, "What's wrong, dear?" And the reply from the slightly glum-looking lady is, "I'm just having an allergic reaction to existence." And while I don't think this stuff is meant to be taken too seriously, I do think that this stuff is popular because, and we find it funny, because in some level we can relate to it. In some level, sort of this generation can relate to these feelings of angst. Let's take the picture down so we're not too distracted. So if this is a common feeling for young people in today's world, I wonder what you think would bring you peace from such feelings. And this peace I'm talking about is not just the peace from sort of getting away from work and going on a quiet walk, not the peace of watching a nice sunset in the summer evening or cracking open a cold beer after a long day. Wonderful as these experiences are, the peace I'm talking about is deep set satisfaction, fulfillment, rest. Earlier this year, the record-breaking American swimmer Michael Phelps opened up about his struggle with mental health through his Olympic career. Most successful Olympian of all time. He stated that, "After every Olympics, I think I fell into a major state of depression." He says he reached rock bottom following the 2012 Olympics in London when he spent 4 days just in his room without eating or without sleep. And this is not an uncommon pattern. There are so many examples of people like this whose lives have been devoted around achieving one certain goal, and then they get there and the experience is, what next? what was it all about? People like this, they've achieved everything they've ever set out to do in their 20s or 30s, and they have found that it didn't satisfy, it didn't bring peace. Another who spoke of deep dissatisfaction late in his life was Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen. Now, Freddie had it, he had it all. He had amazing talent. He had success, fame, money. But this is what he said. You can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. And that is the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship. But then can we even expect to find that peace in relationship? With almost a half of marriages ending in divorce, and I won't do a survey, but I'm guessing probably around half the people in this room, myself included, come from broken homes. Can we really say that this is going to bring the peace we long for when the happy family dream has fallen short for so many? Why is this? Why is it that despite all our best efforts, all our searching, it is so difficult to find a peace that lasts? St. Augustine, one of the church's great theologians from way back in the 5th century, famously said, "You, Lord, have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." What's he saying here? He's saying we are made to be in relationship with God. He's made us for himself, to be with him. Yet because sin, because our turning away from God and rejecting him has come into the world, we're separated from him. And because of this, our hearts will be restless until they can rest in God. Restless with a hole that demands to be filled, or a loneliness we never truly escape, or a low hum of pain that we've lived with for so long that we forget it's really there. I wonder, is this you? Is your heart restless? Are you aware of a longing in you that so far nothing has been able to satisfy? Jesus, shortly before his death, said to his followers, "My peace I give to you." And he's saying the same to you tonight, "My peace I give to you." Will you receive that peace tonight? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And a little while later, we'll offer the opportunity for you to put your faith in Jesus and to know this peace with God. But moving on, as we jump ahead to verse 5 in the passage, we read, "Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit he has given us. Our God is a God of love, and this passage speaks so beautifully of that love. But God's love isn't just meant to be something external. It's not just meant to be something we know about, that we believe to be true and kind of mentally assent to. This love is something that's meant to be deeply experienced in our core. It says God has poured out his love into our hearts. This imagery Paul uses of pouring, it's not something small. It's not just a gentle sprinkling. God has poured out his love into our hearts. It conveys something lavish, abundant, extravagant. His pouring is like a flood. And this is what we've heard from Emma and Josie tonight. This is what they have testified to. Emma, in the first testimony we heard, said, "I didn't know I could feel the love of God until I opened the door to him." What an amazing thing, the love of God poured into our hearts. And this pouring of the love of God is my story too. When I was 16, I remember experiencing strong feelings of guilt and shame for the way I'd been living, the way I'd been treating people around me, objectifying them. And in the summer, I went off to this Christian camp, and one of the evenings we'd been focusing on God's forgiveness. And during a time of prayer, I remember just becoming acutely aware of the love of God for me, despite my wrongdoing and my turning against him. And in that time, I just broke down in tears and was weeping for about 20 minutes, just saying kind of in my head, God, how can you love me? How can you love me? I was so aware that I didn't deserve his love, but he loved me immensely all the same. And later on, I was praying with someone and asking for forgiveness from God. And when I finished praying, I left just physically beaming and feeling tons lighter because I knew that the weight of that guilt and that shame had been lifted off me. I knew that I was forgiven. The love of God was poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit. And the result of that, the fruit of that encounter, was that it was really the start of my life as a worshiper of God. From then on, I just spent so much of my time singing songs to him, playing worship songs on the piano, and just loving him because I was so aware of that love that had been poured into my heart. And this same love is available for each one of you tonight. Do you want to know this in your life? God has poured out his love into our hearts. Just as I close, at the end of the passage we read earlier, Paul writes, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, still turning our backs on God, still rejecting him, he showed his love for us by entering into this world in the person of Jesus and giving up his life so that our relationship with God could be restored. He has shown his love. That's what Emma and Josie testified to earlier. That's what they have found to be true. This is true to me, and this is true for so many people in this room. How about you? You can be made right with him by faith. You can know peace with God. And you can experience him pour out his love into your heart. And as we close, I'd like us just to close with a prayer, which you can pray in your hearts to put your faith in Jesus if you'd like to do that tonight. And I'd just like to invite you to close your eyes so this is a personal thing. So if you'd like to do that now, that would be great. And I'll just pray a short and simple prayer. And if you would like to join in tonight, you can pray this along in the quiet of your heart. Jesus, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that you sacrificed your life so that we could know peace with God. I'm sorry for turning away from you, for living as if you didn't exist. Jesus, please come into my life and fill me with your peace. And fill me with your love. Would you pour that love into my heart? And just keeping your eyes closed, if you prayed that just now, more is just a way for you to remember tomorrow if you're, you know, sat in the library or sat at work and thinking, did this really happen last night? Did I say those words? I'd love, just with everyone's eyes closed, for you just to raise a hand and just so you can kind of remind yourself tomorrow that this is a prayer that you prayed. So if you prayed that, please raise your hands now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great, you can put your hands down. And if you have prayed that and raised your hand, I'd love it if you spoke to someone you came with, maybe, just told them that you've done this so that they can encourage you on how to continue next. You can open your eyes now, by the way. Do pray with someone, do chat to them, let them kind of explain the next steps for you. And if you'd like, we'd love to come and meet you and just talk with you about what this means and, you know, what this might look like for you. But I'm going to invite up Matthew and Emily now, and they'll take you through what's happening next. Thank you.